Reading from Acts chapter 2, page 148 in the Church Bibles. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers speaking in his or her own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome. Both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know whether you've ever appeared to be drunk on account of the Holy Spirit. I certainly remember going to Holy Trinity in Brompton for an Alpha day, training day on the Spirit. And I know Graham and I came back and we couldn't stop laughing and felt as though we'd been drinking. But we hadn't. I'm sure that was the infilling of the Holy Spirit on that occasion. And it's a wonderful feeling.
Peter's Message, Church Bibles, page 149, Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles and in a loud voice began to speak to the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me. And let me tell you what this means. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn red as blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And then whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. Thanks be to God.
Right, so we've said this morning that today's a wow day. Just think about the excitement there is in a family as Christmas approaches. Excitement of presents, of parties, yes, and of worship. Or the excitement when a family's going on holiday, as that holiday gets nearer, and then it arrives at last. Well, it was that sort of excitement that was present on that first Pentecost. The disciples were together in Jerusalem, and they met to pray after the ascension of Jesus to heaven. And their hearts were fixed on Jesus. They were waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise to give them the Holy Spirit. And they were expecting. They were ready to receive all that God would give them. But they were also sad. Until, that is, God's Holy Spirit came to them. All of a sudden, they were different. They heard the sound like wind, and flames of fire appeared above their heads. And they went outside and talked with many people of various nationalities in their own languages. And it was an exciting time, and an awe-inspiring time. This was God at work. And the reaction was amazing. You know, it wasn't that sadness was being replaced by optimism. No, this was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had given them a new wow factor, a new awareness of God, and an inward power and confidence in Jesus that they hadn't had before. And the wonderful thing about Pentecost was not the sound of the rushing mighty wind, which was a symbol of the heavenly power and invisibility, or not the tongues like fire, a symbol of divine presence and purification. The wonderful thing about Pentecost, the disciples being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled so that they might witness to all people. Well, of course, this was not the first time that the Holy Spirit of God was active in the world. You recall that in the Old Testament, the Spirit was known, but only known by kings, prophets, or people with special tasks. But at Pentecost, the Spirit came upon all people. Now God's Spirit wants to dwell within us and live within us day by day. We too can experience the presence of God by His Spirit, and we can do so at all times. He's to be a constant friend rather than an occasional visitor. Now, a friend is one who comes in when the whole world goes out. And so the big difference this time is now that everyone can receive his power, and no one is too small, insignificant, or sinful. No matter what their nationality, their gender, or their age, and regardless of their outward appearance, the way they speak, the job they do, or the way they dress. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit brought about a new social identity. Might call it the fellowship of the Spirit. It was available to the believers in the upper room, for the people listening, for the young church, and it is equally available to us today. If we come to God in faith, asking to be filled, then He will answer us. And of course, the fellowship of the Spirit is the church. Because Pentecost was the dawning of a new day, the birthday of the Church of Christ. And John Stott, the theologian, said this: before Christ sent the church into the world, he sent the Spirit into the church. And that same order must be observed today. And so the story of Pentecost is important for us today, because it's the day when the church was born, the day when the gift of the Holy Spirit was made available to all people, to people throughout the world. But why was the way open for God to do something special that day? Why was he able to make it a wow day? I'll make a few suggestions as to why the conditions were right. One, the disciples were all together. They were in unity with each other and in harmony with God. Two, Jesus had promised that they would receive new power, and they wanted to be ready to respond to God. And so they prayed. Three, they had confidence in God and were open to what God wanted them to do. Four, Jesus has said, believe in me. Be prepared to do whatever I call you to do. And they were obedient to Jesus. And five, they had high expectations that something would happen, that the promise of Jesus would be fulfilled. And so it was to become for the disciples in that room a wow factor day, a day that would change their lives and become the basis for the church. I wonder, you know, if those conditions are present in our churches today, those in the town, those in Lancaster Road, in this church. Are we, like the disciples of old, ready for a wow day? And you know, their wow factor words are wow words for us today. Unity, harmony, confidence, obedience, expectancy. Are they present in our churches today? And so on that first Pentecost, the first disciples had a Holy Spirit experience, a new birth through the Spirit, a new awareness of God. And we all need to receive a fresh experience of God's Spirit. Though there may be some who object to this suggestion, but the Bible is clear. Without it, we are still outside the life of God. You must be born again. John 3, chapter 3 and verse 1. And just as we couldn't come to God without the help of the Holy Spirit, neither can we live a Christian life apart from his ongoing help. So if you think that you're a Christian, and if your Christian life lacks power, if you long for a greater sense of openness and freedom in your own spirits, if you experience a distinct lack of victory in deep personal or interpersonal areas of your life, remember that it was the Holy Spirit that gave the first disciples a new sense of God, a new awareness of God. And out of this awareness, other streams were to flow. Streams of emotion, streams of strength, streams of gifts and so on. But at the heart of everything, there was that new awareness of God, a feeling of awe and majesty. It was this sense of God that gripped the disciples in such a profound way on that day of Pentecost. And it was this new sense of God that played an important part in uniting the followers of Jesus in a special way. The fellowship of the Spirit, the church. And it was this new awareness that transformed the followers of Jesus into bold witnesses. And so we all need to experience that new birth through the Spirit, a personal infilling of the Holy Spirit. So the New Testament plainly tells us that the Holy Spirit only comes to those who are willing and ready to receive him. And the disciples were ready, and Pentecost brought about a radical change in the outlook of those disciples. They became bold enough to leave the safety of the upper room and to preach in the open air. Take a brief look at to see how the Holy Spirit changed and empowered one individual that day. Read about him, haven't we? Peter. Almost everyone finds it easy to identify with him. His impetuosity, enthusiasm, and most of all, his failures and misunderstandings are so very human and so much like our own. It's so easy, isn't it, to identify with Peter. You know, we are eager to please Jesus. We recognize that he is the Son of God. And we are filled with enthusiasm, and then we fail him. Like Peter, we're afraid to acknowledge that we are followers of Jesus. You know, we may not fear for our lives, but we are embarrassed to talk about our faith, and we disown the Lord. The coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost showed how dramatic the changes in Peter had been. For along with the others present, Peter was a changed man. And now on the day of Pentecost, we find that it was Peter who stood up and told the crowds about Jesus. It was Peter taking a leadership role in the new church. And in his first Christian sermon, he preached eloquently and fearlessly to a great number. He accused them of rejecting Jesus, and he proclaims that Jesus is Lord, and that everyone should repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, some suggested that Peter's boldness had been brought about because he was drunk. But the truth is that it had been brought out and brought on by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter here was not asking the crowd to do anything that he had not done already. He admitted that he had done wrong, that he was a sinner. But he knows that Jesus, the risen Saviour, has died for his sins and forgiven him, especially for his threefold denial. And so Peter here calls on the crowd, and he pleads with them to respond by repenting and receiving Jesus just as he has done. The Holy Spirit that transformed Peter then spoke to the hearts of that crowd and began changing them. And it's evident, isn't it, that Peter didn't only do different things through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was different himself. He had been headstrong, untrustworthy, and sometimes foolish. But now he was firm and bold, taking the lead among the disciples. And there are many people, good people, Christians, and yet to be Christians, who say you can't change a person's nature any more than you can change the spots on a leopard. And you know, that's quite right. I can't do that. You can't do that. But the Holy Spirit, the actions of God, can. And the disciples in that upper room would have believed that to be true. So what about us? I wonder, perhaps the Holy Spirit is talking to you personally today. Could the Holy Spirit come to individuals and to the church as he did on the day of Pentecost? Well, times change and society change. But God doesn't. So there's no reason why the Holy Spirit shouldn't come, just as he did on the day of Pentecost. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help believers spread the good news. Today, our task is to do just that, to spread the good news. We too need the help of the Holy Spirit. And today, Pentecost encourages us to enter fully into a fresh experience of the Holy Spirit, to enter into a new awareness of God, to have a renewed confidence in Jesus, and to be aware that God is at work in this world. So may the well words that describe the disciples be well words for us today. Unity, harmony, confidence, obedience, expectancy. Now, if we're bound up in these well words, then this Pentecost will well be a well day, a day when the Holy Spirit dwells within us, equips us, and empowers us to do the work entrusted to us, to tell others the good news. Amen.